Well, I'd like to talk to you today about a word that's not in the Bible. But it's something I think we're all familiar with. Last Sunday, our topic was predators. Or a predator, and this Sunday I'd like to talk to us about a parasite. I find it interesting that a predator is something that wants to take the life and consume something else. And a parasite has no intention of taking a life. A parasite is it's different than a predator in that it doesn't kill their host. It lives off of one organism, lives off of another one, obtaining nourishment and protection whilst offering no benefit in return. That's what a parasite is. So one definition, I like to use the Webster's 1828 dictionary a lot of times, but sometimes he uses terms like modern usage, and 1828's been a long time ago now, so when he says modern usage, sometimes we might think it's a little bit archaic, but one of his definitions for a parasite is, in botany, a plant growing on the stem or branch of another plant and receiving its nourishment from it, as the mistletoe. The mistletoe does not have a root system to be able to pull nutrients from the soil, but it, many times this time of the year, as the leaves begin to fall away, I noticed in Carthage, one of the unique features in Carthage is a lot of trees, and in a lot of those trees, there's mistletoe, and you don't see it really during the summertime, but when in the wintertime, the mistletoe stays green, and it'll be up there. It'll look kind of like a squirrel's nest or something, but it'll be up there in the upper parts of the trees, and it's still green up there, and all the leaves that fell off of the trees. Well, it's a parasite. It lives off of something else. Parasites, I remember one time going, I don't remember, I told you before that I'm not much of a fisherman, and the fish I catch is pretty small, or have caught in the past is pretty small, but I had been fishing with someone, and we were cleaning the fish, and it was in like late summer when the weather had been pretty hot, and we went to clean these fish, and we had filleted something. I don't remember what kind of fish it was, but he said, "Oh, that's no good. We have to throw it away." And I thought, "Well, it looks pretty good to me." And then he started pointing out that in the flesh or the meat of the fish was these little tiny white things. They were, oh, I don't know. They weren't microscopic, but they were really short and they were really thin. They were smaller than a pencil lead by a substantial amount, about like a needle as far as the diameter, but they was just little short things. And he said, "That's worms." I said, "Okay." I said, "I mean, I'm not planning on eating raw fish anyway, but I don't like the idea of eating cooked worms either." So I said, "I'm okay with you throwing it out." But it was a parasite. Many times, parasites are transmitted through water, especially water that doesn't flow. There's a thing in some sub-Sahara African nations, some of the places that Brother Michael has visited are susceptible to this, when the water gets stagnant and it's not a fresh stream and it's not a good well or whatever, there can be parasites lurking in that water. And one of those parasites when you drink the water and it begins to develop, it turns into something called a guinea worm. You ever heard of that? And it takes about a year for this guinea worm to mature to the point that it wants to come out. And when it comes out, you have a little blister somewheres on your foot or your leg, and then lo and behold, there's something been living inside of you. Pretty gross, isn't it? It can be like 2 or 3 feet long when it comes out. That's a parasite. Now, I think I've painted a picture where none of y'all like the idea of being a parasite. If I'd said, y'all want to go get us some parasites, you'd say, uh-uh, I don't want none of them things. I don't want any either. I want to avoid a parasite. Thinking of scriptures, like I said, there's no scripture in the Bible that uses the word parasite. But I'm thinking about us in our spiritual walk today, and how that not only is there predators out there that wants to bite and devour and kill us, but there are parasites that want to afflict us. In that year's time, that guinea worm developed. And I would think that if something like that was being harbored in a person's body, you would think that they would feel a level of weakness or something before it came to a mature state. And I come from colloquial expressions and a lot of things out there that were kind of hicky in my growing up time. But I remember hearing phrases like, if someone was really, really thin and they just couldn't gain weight or whatever, somebody might make the observation, it looks like they got worms. Well, they were talking about a parasite, something that could cause some kind of organism that might live inside of a person in their digestive tract that would cause them to not be able to use the nutrients of the food. And I know that there today, you know why we don't have guinea worms here and we don't have a lot of the other problems is because we as a nation have some of the best food and water supplies in the world. Why? We don't have a lot of those diseases that plague what has maybe labeled as a third world country, and is because of cleanliness. People wash their hands before they cook the food. They actually wash their hands before they eat. And the more we do those kind of things, and the more we verify that we have a clean food supply, the less parasites, naturally speaking, that we're going to have. And the more that those third world countries adapt to making sure they've got clean water and clean food and they prepare it properly and all that, the less problems they'll have with parasites. So the better we are at consuming good spiritual food and that we don't try to eat it with contaminated spiritual hands, if you can get that in your picture in your mind, the less trouble we'll have with spiritual parasites. It's just a logical process here. So let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, and notice a common scripture here. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We've used this verse many times. It's been an inspiration to me. It's been something that I have went back to, realizing that I have a personal responsibility. Why is it in the scripture that Peter was told at one point when he in his vision, "Peter, arise, kill and eat." How much fresher can you get than that? It isn't something that he went out and found laying under a rock. It's not something that was hanging in a tree. He says, Peter, arise, kill and eat. If you do that, it's going to be fresh. It didn't have any chance for deterioration. Didn't have refrigerators, didn't have deep freezes. Thank the Lord for both of them. I'm glad that I don't have to go home this afternoon and butcher a chicken so we can have something to eat. My mother grew up in that time. There was a time, many times for a meal. Her mother would send her out to get a chicken and wring the neck and dress the chicken, and you would fry it up for supper or for dinner or whatever. That's the way they lived. How did they live that way? They did it that way because they didn't have a refrigerator. You kept your meat on the hoof until you was ready to eat it. And here he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You want something personal? You don't want to eat a bunch of stagnant stuff spiritually? You want it fresh. You want something that is a witness to your heart, that a witness to your soul, that your experience is real, it's personal, it's alive, it's not something that you kind of scraped it off of something else. You know, I read something here I don't remember how we even got on the subject. The boys were telling me about some kind of strange cheese, and there's some place in Europe that they have made mule cheese. Boy, I want to tell you, that'd be pretty, I don't know, you wouldn't get much cheese, I don't think. But there's cheeses out there that it's a miraculous that people don't get sick. They make cheese and let it deteriorate and grow stuff in it, and then they'll scrape the top. Some of it, part of the process is letting dust mites live in it. And then they don't eat it until the cheese turns black. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think I can go for that. All right? We don't want that kind of spiritual food either, do we? We want something that is, there's companies that make their company logos, and what they market with in their food is the word fresh. We want something that's real. We want a personal experience with the Lord that is vibrant, that's not something that, we get it out. There's songs talking about dust on the Bible and things like that. We need to keep our experience up to date. Don't let it get dusty. You know what's going to happen if something gets dusty and dirty? Probably catch a parasite. That's probably what's going to happen. Let's go to Romans, the 14th chapter, and notice what he says here. Romans 14 and verse 5. He says, one man esteemeth one day above another, especially another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. The thing I want us to get a hold of, if we're going to avoid spiritual parasites, we're going to have to be fully persuaded. If we're not fully persuaded, we're going to be more susceptible to getting a parasite. You know, I'm not a bottled water fanatic, all right? I drink tap water, and I'm thankful I can trust the tap water. Either that or my immune system is good enough that it combats the stuff that's in tap water. I don't know. But there are people out there that won't drink some water unless it comes out of a bottle. And there's purified water, and there's natural spring water, and there's water that's had some kind of reverse osmosis or something. They've been treated with light beams and everything else to kill anything that might hurt you. Well, what are you persuaded? I'm going to tell you, I can drink most anybody's water, okay? I come to your house, you serve me your tap water, I'm going to drink it. But if we're out in the woods somewheres and there's a puddle of water and it's got stuff growing on the top and you just want to rake it off and put your mouth down there and get you a drink, I'm out. I'm not going to do that. I know better than that. I'm persuaded about that, you see. What are you persuaded about of what you're going to ingest spiritually? Is it something that you'll just take anything that comes along? You might catch something. It might be something that takes a year or two to mature, and when it does, it's going to make a bump. And it's going to start coming out, and it's not going to be a very pretty thing. It's going to be painful. I'd like for us to go to Ephesians now, the fourth chapter, and notice what he says here. Familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 8. He says in verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Now let's skip down to verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's a plan for you. There's a plan that God provided. He gave gifts to us. He gave gifts for us to be able to exercise in this body. He says that we henceforth, in verse 14, "be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." When I read through this passage of Scripture, what I get is a picture of an incredibly efficient, functioning body. I'm not an athlete, never have been an athlete. I've had some strengths, I've had weaknesses. But I know that when my body is not functioning as it should have been, as it could have been, that the whole thing suffers. As far as I know, I've never had any parasites living in me. Although I'm suspicious, I got something going on right now. I came home from work the other day, took my shoe off, and some of my skin was coming off of the top of my toes. And I'm thinking, y'all ever heard of athlete's feet? It's a fungus. You know what a fungus is? It's a parasite. You know what it feeds on? Dead skin, especially if it's kind of moist from sweaty feet. That's what you get. It's at least it's not inside. It's just on the top. I'm not sure how I got it. I don't know where it come from, but I'm afraid I got something eating on me down there. Well, I want to tell you today that if we're not, it's not hurting right now, but if I bend my foot just right, it's kind of sore. Well, guess what? If something's sore, you don't use it very much, right? If we got a parasite that's eating on us, we can't work and function like we should. The whole body, he said, here fitly joined together. You know what God's intent for us is to be a spiritual body. Each one of us as individuals contributing a functioning propulsion to the cause, to the effort. So, we want to make this body work. We need every piece of the body to be without parasites. Firmly convinced. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Making sure the spiritual nourishment that you're partaking of is building you up into a body that can be fitly joined together. Not drinking poison and not eating stuff that could cause you to come down sick. All right? So, I'm thinking about a body and a mind that's healthy and how it's a beautiful example of strength and harmony. Our bodies should be not something to glory in, but it ought to be something that brings glory to God, that it's functional and can be used for His purpose and His cause. I'd like to turn a page or two to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and notice here beginning in verse 10. We have a scenario of not a body, but a soldier. He says here in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." All right? You want to resist the devil? He's the predator, isn't he? You want to be able to contend with the predators? He says, you need to put some armor on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a hand-to-hand combat, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot of things that we have to contend with, that we need the health of the individual components and we need the health of the body. Because there's spiritual predators out there. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. In leadership positions, there's corruption. Just a simple fact. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." That's what my desire is. He says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We're going to speak boldly how we ought to speak. We need to be able to be a good soldier. We need to have the armor on. So I have a few questions for you. We have a song, and I don't have a song book up here. In our book, number 148, it says, "I've enlisted in the service," is the title of the song. And I believe its inspiration most likely came from this passage that we just read to us. He says, "I've enlisted in the service." He says, the first verse, "I'm fighting in the army of the Lord." And there's troubles all around. In verse 2, he says, "Often do I meet with Satan by the way. His fiery darts so thickly round me fly. When the shield of faith he sees, then he always quickly flees. I've enlisted in the service till I die." So he starts talking about the components that's in this passage of Scripture, and talks about us as Christians being able to lift this armor up and deflect the enemy's arrows. And not only does he deflect the arrows with the shield of faith, he says in the song, the enemy quickly flees. Why? Because he sees we got the armor on. Because he sees that the body is fitly joined together, I could say. All right? And then he says, "Now the world has ceased to be a friend to me. The most ones I most have loved have passed me by, but to him I'll faithful be who has shed his blood for me. I've enlisted in the army till I die." So, thinking about this soldier, if we've enlisted in the service, we're a soldier, right? And if we're a soldier, we've been given armor. Would that be a true statement? And if we've been given armor, we've been prepared to use that armor. I would venture that every soldier in our armed forces, every branch of the military, if you've been issued a weapon of any kind, before they give it to you, you've been trained in how to use it. They're not going to give you a weapon that you don't know how to use it and how to maintain it. If you're issued a specific rifle, you've been drilled and grilled and practiced on how to take it apart and clean it and put it back together, and how to determine why it don't function or what could make it not function, and how to detect if you need a replace a worn part. All of those things you've been trained over and over and over again, and you're issued that weapon to use. You're issued armor, how to use it, how to put it on, make sure it fits. I knew a man that, and some of you would know him, at least his name if I mentioned it. He was in World War II, and one of the things they were issued in World War II were gas masks. Well, a gas mask, pretty much one size fits all, except this fella. And he had an exceptionally large face. He wasn't odd looking, it was just, his face was him and his brother both was in World War II. His brother got the generic one and he got a special one. But it wouldn't done him any good if you give somebody a gas mask and you're going into where there's something you could inhale it wouldn't done him any good to have one that didn't fit. God's not going to give you armor that don't fit. All right? But how are you going to function as a body fitly joined together or a soldier to the level that you should if you got a parasite working on you? What do you think about a soldier having to march, having to go through some kind of rigorous physical exercise, and he's struggling with athlete's feet? He's wanting to stop and kick his boot off and rub his toes all the time. You know, he's not going to be very effective. That's a parasite. So you see, we got to get rid of parasites. We got to determine to get this stuff out of our system and out of our, what do we got to change about what we're eating and the things we're exposing ourselves to? Maybe we need to prop our toes apart and let a little fresh air circulate around and let that fungus die off. I don't know. Lord, help us, spiritually speaking, not to allow parasites to take over. I believe our world is full of predators and it's full of parasites. It's full of stuff that wants to take our energy, takes our focus, wants to take our enthusiasm. It's satisfied to just live with us and not kill us. Just wants to sap a little get up out of us. My objective today is that we would realize that we don't want anything to do with a parasite. Just like we don't want anything to do with a predator. And that we would not allow ourselves to be a parasite on one another. That's a tall order. Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'll try to bring our little thought to a close this morning, but Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Lord, help us to be able to set the things aside that could beset us and the weights. You know, one of the things that they tried to do to make things faster is reduce weight. Spiritually, you think you can be very effective in your life if you're allowing yourself to harbor a spiritual parasite? You got to feed it and yourself. If you got something sucking the life out of you, you're going to have to feed it and yourself. You know how much energy that takes? So I'd like to talk just a little bit in closing about behavioral patterns of parasites. Did you know that lethargy is a parasite? You know, lethargy is something that can be a weight and just slow us down. And in our occupations, lethargy will keep us from being the high performer. Lethargy in our spiritual walk will keep us from having all the armor on, or maybe knowing how to use the armor. It'll keep us from being one of the members of the body that's fitly joined together. You know, punctuality or the lack thereof can be a parasite. It can suck your strength. It can cause you to feel like you're just an observer instead of a contributor. You know what OCD is? Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know that can be a parasite. You know we can be so OCD that we can't smell the roses. That we just can't function hardly without checking things three times. Lord help us. I believe there's a balance, but my point is that OCD can be a parasite just like lethargy can be. Did you know low motivation is a parasite? It's a sign of a parasite. You know, if I'm eating my meal and 10%, 20% of my meal that I eat is feeding some kind of worm that's living in my digestive tract, and it's not going into my body, you know that I'm going to lose weight. Maybe we're living too clean. I don't know. You know, a lack of vision is a sign of having a parasite. Just can't see. Can't see the big picture. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we live the way that we do? I just don't see it. You know, there's probably a parasite behind that. Low commitment to completion. We have a low level of commitment. You know what commitment is? What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's commitment, folks. We have a low level. If it hurts, I ain't going to do it. I'm not telling you that everybody needs to be doing things that hurt yourself all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But we have a low level of commitment. It's probably a sign there's a parasite working. You know, perfectionism can be a sign that there's a parasite at work. Just nobody can meet your expectations. Do you know that drama, crying, complaining, disaster, one disaster after another, there's a parasite going on. It's keeping you from really being able to be a good soldier. Really keeping you from being able to be a real contributing member. You know, we have something in our world today that probably is one of the biggest parasites that's keeping individuals from moving forward in life, and that's a victim mindset. You got a victim mindset? Probably it's a parasite. You know, one of the things that I feel like I got a hold of as a young person, and my mother taught me, my daddy too, but my mother taught me, you're going to get in trouble from time to time, and you didn't do nothing to cause it. You're going to have to stay in from recess because somebody wouldn't close their mouth in class. You're going to suffer a little bit because... She never told me, you poor little thing, I'm going to go talk to the teacher. She never said that. I remember one time, one of my boys got in trouble, and they called me to come to school. There was a potential that he was going to get some corporal punishment. They would have done it without asking when I was in school, but they called me up. I had to go up there, and I said, look, if he got it coming, I'm here to witness it. Let's get it going. And I never gave him the chance to feel like he was being taken advantage of. You know, that's not the world we live in. Everything else, everything is somebody else's fault. And we live in a parasitical society of being a victim. I'm just a victim. I was born in the wrong year. I was living in the wrong neighborhood. I grew up whatever. It's a victim. We can all look for something to be a victim of. And I'm sure there's been this, all of us has had a disadvantage. But what are we doing with it? Are we letting the victim mindset be the parasite that sucks our strength and sucks our potential out? Lord, help us. Well, I could live for God if I didn't have whatever. If this didn't happen and that didn't happen. That's a parasite. That's a victim mindset. So I want us to be encouraged, but not just encouraged. I want us to be challenged. You got any worms?